This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. And just in time for Father's Day, get $5 off the limited edition Father's Day set by entering the code WHATTHETECH when you check out. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
What the tech?
Hey, buddy, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zirin. Of course, I'm joined by the returning Paul Theriot. How you doing, Paul?
Hey,
boy,
good.
Boy, did I miss you. It's been a month.
Sorry. Yeah, it has been a while.
I think this is the longest that we have not done a show, ever. I don't think we ever did a month, right?
Nope.
We have not?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why.
Last time when you did the home swap, you did do shows.
Oh, yeah. I've always done shows, in the past. That's true.
You know what? I'm glad you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I had Brad on. I had Ayaz on. I had Stevie Richards on. I had Mary Jo on.
So right.
You were replaced by great people every single week.
I'm used to it.
It's okay. Wonderful people. But a lot did happen when you were away, so we're going to have to go back and talk about a couple things. Okay. There was some sort of Windows update that happened.
And it actually sounds familiar. All
I've been getting, Paul, I'm up to my neck in emails about Windows 10 activation questions.
Oh, good.
I'm up to my ears in Windows 10 activation questions. So I have coincidentally, you have a great post on Theriot.com explaining a lot of these questions, answering a lot of these questions. So right. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the HP, the new HP Stream lineup, which I'm interested in getting your opinion on. Okay. Redstone 2 and a lot of other things, Paul. But before we do that, I want to thank our great sponsor, and that's Harry's. I 2 days ago was my dad's birthday, and I ordered my father the replacement, the razor replacements, because you get the kit and then you order the replacements. So I got him the replacements, and he came to me, and he goes, what am I going to do with this? I'm barely swapping these things out. I was like, I don't know. Make this like your tie. You know, you give your dad a tie. Like, this is your tie. You're getting a Harry's razor, the heads, the replacements for the razors. Guys, if you have not purchased a Harry's razor, now is the time to do so. Go to harrys.com and use the coupon code WHATTHETECH, and you get $5 off your first purchase with that coupon code. Great razors, great quality blades. Great everything. I've been using a Harry's razor since actually they started advertising with us. They sent me a Harry's razor, and I didn't think I would use it because I loved the razors that I was using. I ended up using it, and guess what? I'm still using it every single time I shave, which is not every day. I shave every 2 days. Just a little cleanup, and these razors go a long way when you're doing that. For just $2 per blade compared to $4 at the drugstore, yes, sir.
Can I interject in an ad?
Yes,
I've never done this before.
I would love you to. Yeah, go
so,
ahead.
So, while I was away, Harry sent out an email, and they have updated their razors to include the feature I've been waiting for, which is that kind of trimming razor on the other end of the razor, where you flip it over and get in those little tight spots, like under your nose or whatever.
Oh my God!
This is something Gillette's had for a long, long time, and I really like it.
Where is this thing?
If you just go to Harry's, you'll see it. I have not gotten them yet from Harry's, so I'm actually very eager to try this because this is the one thing about Harry's that I wasn't, that I missed. But they've just fixed it.
That's actually amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, with the new razors. Here it is. Hold on. I don't know if they want me to talk about this, but I don't care. I'm going to talk about this because this is actually very...
No, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It really makes a big difference. And these razors are the blades are so cheap, compared to when you Gillette or whatever. I mean, so it's kind of amazing. I'm dying.
So what
to try
is it?
This.
It's a replacement blade.
Yeah. So another, you get the blades, right? They come on these little cartridges, and they have probably four blades, and then like a little smooth strip or whatever. But if you flip it over, there's a single other blade on the back, and it's like a trimmer blade. Okay. And it's for, you know, I use it like up on the sideburn area here and then like right under your nose. Because it's just like one single blade. It just gets a little tight spots on your face.
Oh, that's freaking awesome. That's really, really awesome. I'm going to have to contact them. I did not know about this new blade.
Because when you don't have that, like if you try to get up on your nose, like you'll cut the skin on your nose by mistake because there's, you know, multiple blades on the normal.
Yeah, and it has a rubber grip now, which I'll be really happy because I have the Winston and it gets a little, you know, I shave in the shower. So
it's like it's a little slippery.
It gets a little slippery. Very dangerous. Yep. There's a blade flying everywhere. No, it's actually
razors
are flying everywhere. It's so good. Guys, that's actually great. Go to harrys.com. You can go check it out, and you can start out with your $5 off if you want to get this new blade, which is actually awesome.
Yeah.
Listen, I do
sorry to interrupt.
No. Listen, it's a great idea. I'm glad that you did, because I did not know about this blade.
Yeah, I was really excited to see them do this, because it's the one thing I've really missed.
You know what? That's a great... I'm so glad you chimed in on this. Harrys.com. Get $5 off your first purchase when you use the coupon code WhatTheTech at checkout. So, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about anniversary update. I heard you don't like the term anniversary update because it's really...
Well, people misuse terms, right? And maybe it's just my pedantic background as a tech guy. Maybe it's because I write books and I feel, you know, very responsible about calling things what they are, you know. There is a thing called the Windows 10 anniversary update, right? It's a good or bad name. It doesn't really matter. Just like there was a thing that Microsoft called the November update last November. I feel like these names are not super precise, but whatever, it's fine. But you're not running Windows 10 anniversary update, right? That's not the thing. Like the update is what you use to update Windows 10 to Windows 10 version 1607. That's the real name of this thing. So you're running Windows 10. The version is 1607. And you got there by installing the anniversary update. If that makes sense.
It does, yeah.
It becomes the current branch for this OS because there are multiple branches, right? Because they have to support businesses that want to stay on a previous version. So there's the original version, which was 1507 from last year. There's the second version, which is 1511 from November. And now we have this third version, which is 1607. And these things, you know, just to kind of put it in perspective, each of those releases is in fact a major OS release. It's not like a cumulative update that you get over Windows Update, even though it's often, you know, it is delivered through Windows Update.
I mean,
it's an OS refresh.
Would you say it's more like a service pack? Or
no, it's
more,
literally a new. It's a new version. It's literally like going from Windows 7 to Windows 8. And I don't mean that from the perspective of there are that many new features. I mean, at a technical level, the way that the OS is upgraded is the same as when you go from Windows 7 to Windows 8, or Windows 8 to 8.1, or Windows 8.1 to Windows 10, or whatever it is. It is literally a new version of Windows. We're calling it Windows 10. You know, they've decided this is really just a marketing hoo-ha thing. You know, I think what they don't want to do is release things like Windows 10, Windows 11, Windows 12, Windows 13 in rapid succession because these things are going to come out
every year.
Every 6 to 9 months to 1 year.
I
think that would be confusing. By just calling it Windows 10, you know, they're kind of giving themselves a little bit of wiggle room.
Or why not just call it Windows? Forget about the numbers, right?
Yes. So I really think that.
You know, Apple got a lot of crap for going with the animals, and now they're going with the, you know, the...
Well, remember, so Mac OS X came out in 2001, and then they went through 10.1, 10.2, 10, all the way to 10.11. I think we're on 10.12 might be the new one. And now they're just really calling... And now they're doing their own little... It's Mac OS. We're just calling it Mac OS.
10, 11, 16. That's the latest.
And they... 10.16, okay, even further than I thought. You know, these things sort of don't matter in a way, but the name of the thing is just from the ability to precisely identify what it is you have is important on a number of levels because each version of these OSs, whether it's Windows or the Mac, has different features, different built-in things, different things you can get. You know, you could be on Windows 10, 15, 11 still and still maybe have the latest version of the Groove app or not. You know, I actually don't know off the top of my head, but... you know, it's important to be able to name these things. And so the anniversary update is, you know, the thing you download to install, you know, to get to the next
version
of Windows.
But is it the thing that you buy?
No.
Yeah.
You can't buy the anniversary update.
Yeah.
You buy Windows 10.
You buy Windows 10, yeah. So for the future of this thing, Do you think there needs to be like Windows 10, you know, blah, blah, blah edition? Like, do you think that needs to happen for marketing reasons so people know? Because Windows 10 is going to stay as Windows 10 for the foreseeable future, as far as we know. So how do you know, how do you get people to want to update if there's no name associated to it? How do you get people to buy the – I think Mary Jo said – so. Actually, look, I'm going to ask you this. Mary Jo said the first week you were away, that less than 5% of people that use Windows have actually gone out and bought – a copy of Windows and upgraded?
That's probably true historically. I would say for Windows 10, that's not true because Windows 10, because by virtue of the fact that it was free, and I would also just add from the perspective of it being a much more reliable upgrade, there were far more computers upgraded to Windows 10 as a percentage of the user base in sheer unit numbers than has ever happened with any version of Windows. But that's true typically, yes, definitely. Most people, you get Windows with a computer and then you stop thinking about Windows.
Yeah, okay. So do you think they're going to need to come up with some naming plan for the future version of Windows? I mean, I get this one. Like next, what are they going to call the next update?
Yeah.
Windows.
So, well, that's the thing. The update name doesn't matter in a way. I think we need to call it something during the time where, you know, that it's being made. So right now, the next version of the next update for Windows, the next version of Windows is codenamed Redstone 2.
Of course.
They will eventually call it the February or March update or some stupid name like that that is completely meaningless. But the meaningful name and the thing that is precise and is good to know is that the real name of that thing will be Windows 10 version 1703 or whatever.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
And, you know, the version numbers are nice because they're easier to remember than build numbers because the build number for this thing is something like 14393 point whatever. Those are stupid numbers. But four-digit number, it's calendar-based. It's very easy to remember.
The month
and the year, yeah. You can easily say, I'm on 1607. That's newer than 1511. I think that over time they're going to do what Apple did and they're going to get rid of the 10 because this is just Windows.
Yeah.
And you can just tie it to the year. It's funny because when they first started using annual, like a year names, like Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows 2000.
God, it made so much sense.
Remember at the time they talked about it like it was cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you know, it's like a car year. And so maybe in, you know, typically, you might want to come up with Windows 98 not at the end of 1998, but maybe in the 1997 even, or beginning of 1998. And that never happened. But they screwed around with the naming conventions. Some things still use version numbers, some didn't, and all that. And so this kind of goes back to that. And because Windows and other Microsoft products are upgraded so much, it actually becomes more like a car in the way cars are named and the way cars are versioned. And so if you have like a 2016 Honda Accord, and here it is, it's August, and the 2017s might be out already, or they will be soon. If they didn't do a major change to the car, there are still differences, right? And so when you go from 2016 to 2017, you know, whatever car model you're talking about, maybe they made some changes to the radio. There were some, you know, the bumper might have changed slightly. They changed the lights, whatever it was, but it's still the same platform. You know, the underlying car is still the same. And actually, that's Windows today, right? I mean, sometimes there'll be really big changes and sometimes there won't. It doesn't really matter, but there are these releases. They're not once a year. It's not that clean, but if anything, it's more than once a year. So,
yeah, I'm curious on how they're going to do this.
They're doing it. I mean,
they are. I know, but for marketing reasons, right? Like, how are you going to, because remember, the whole thing, even, you know, Apple has the same version, but they still have some sort of bizarro name associated to everything that they do. I don't know in the long run, you know, as far as, you know, it's a major update coming out. This is the moment you want to push this. This is why you should buy a new PC because there's a new version of Windows that comes out. How are you going to market the new version of Windows if it's going to be, you know, version Windows 10, you know, 16, whatever the version number would be? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very different way.
Yeah. Yep.
So I have updated only one machine, one PC to anniversary.
And do you say that purposefully or because they just haven't happened?
So, well, I tried to update everything.
Yeah.
And the first day that it came out, and every update failed. It said something went wrong and then I had to hit update again or like try again or, you know, cancel. So I hit cancel on all of them. I only hit it on one because I've only been in the office, you know, twice this week. I've been doing some home stuff. But I did one of the updates. Easy breezy. Very simple. It's almost the same thing. Most people will not notice it. I do, however, like that my apps are, you know, are right front and center, like everything I have installed. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'll tell you, like I like to make mine look as close to, you know, Windows 7. So I don't have all this stuff. I've removed everything. And here are all my apps. Same.
Yep.
Yeah, so very easy.
Yeah. I actually, you know, it's funny, back in, I guess it would be Windows 7, they started giving you the ability to pin things to the taskbar. And so ever since that release, that's all I've done. And so, you know, Windows 8.1, you know, there was all this drama over the full screen start experience, and then they brought it back to a menu, and now in Windows 8, it's an improved menu, and it really hasn't impacted me in the slightest. I just put the stuff I need in the taskbar, and I use the start menu, like, you know, like you just demonstrated, as kind of it's a list of all of the apps. And so if there's some app that I don't use that much, I'll open that thing. But the truth is, oftentimes I'll just type the name.
That's what I'm
to
doing
get to
too.
It quickly,
or the service,
right?
Or whatever I'm trying to do. Like I had.
Yeah, you
to
just
go,
hit start and you know, start typing. Like
now,
Adobe,
let me tell you, I'm very upset over Group Policy Editor.
Okay.
No.
Because, why?
No, I'm not. Because the whole hoopla that you can't disable certain things I had, you know, a lot of people who were upset over that. But you know, one thing that I did notice that I actually like is the updated Action Center. You have more customization over the Action Center. You could tell it that you don't want certain types of stuff popping up. You have a little bit more wiggle room with that, and that's just a maturity thing.
And there's more to come because it's still not where it needs to be. The Action Center is pretty good. I feel like the little notifications about pending notifications that you haven't seen is a little subtle.
Like with updates and stuff?
There's a little number down there, and you don't really notice it. And every once in a while, I'll zone out for a second. I'm like, oh, there's like a 12 over there. I wonder what all that stuff is. But the bigger problem with the notification stuff is the notification banners themselves. Like, they pop out from the bottom right of the screen, and there's no way to configure where they are or move them. Like, you can't drag it somewhere else. And so, for example, if you're using the Skype app right now for Windows, the desktop app, and you click somewhere else in the system, a secondary Skype window opens
desktop
somewhere.
Desktop or universal?
Desktop.
Okay.
Right. So are you using it now? Or are you on a Mac?
I'm on Windows, but that's not it. I haven't updated the machine that you're on right now.
Well, no, this has happened for years.
Okay,
so in other words, if you're using the desktop version of Skype,
and
Skype is not the foreground application.
Okay.
A small window appears in the corner somewhere.
All right, let's try this. I don't know if you guys will see it, but
yeah, why don't you show your desktop or whatever?
I have it full screened. So here you are, right?
Yeah.
So let me drag something there.
Yes, there it is. It just appeared. See it?
It did.
See the little thing?
The little window. Yeah.
All right. So the point of that is so that you can see what's going on in Skype if you're doing something else on your computer.
Yeah.
But what's nice about that little window is you can drag it anywhere you want. And so if you don't want it wherever it appears on your computer, you can put it wherever you want. And the next time it appears, it will always be where you put it.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Okay.
So that's a neat feature.
Yeah.
The Universal Windows Platform version of Skype has a pop-up as well. But they use the notification banner like you get from other apps in Windows 10. So you don't get a video preview in it.
Oh, boy.
It's the color of your accent color, which in my case is blue. It's stuck in the bottom right of the screen.
Wait, this is what happened to you yesterday.
Yes.
Yes.
It has two options on it. One says mute and one says end call.
Yeah.
So I leave a Twitter window in the bottom right of my screen. And if I click on that window, this thing actually covers the bottom of it. And so what I had done was I was clicking in the area where I would type for Skype. And the banner came up and I clicked end call. You know, so this is just an immaturity thing.
Yeah.
In other words,
lack of use. You know,
So I would just say from the perspective of notifications in Windows 10, one of the things that has to change is Microsoft needs to give the user the ability to position those notification banners elsewhere on the screen. For one thing, you can't move them
or turn it
off. You can't say,
can you turn it off?
Well, you can turn them off. You can do that on an app by app basis.
Okay.
But you want to say something like, well, I always want them in the upper right or the upper left or whatever. And I also want the ability to drag one out of the way and say, from this app, I always want these ones to be over here or whatever. Now, from Skype's perspective, I don't know if it's a Skype problem or an immaturity in the notification APIs in Windows 10, but they can't or are not right now displaying a video preview like you see in the Skype desktop app.
I mean, or it's a combination of both, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's my point is I don't know. It doesn't matter, but it just doesn't work.
A little fact for you. When Brad was on a couple of weeks ago and he went HD, guess what happened to his video?
He froze. Yeah, I had this. I was talking to him about this.
And the only way we fix it is if you use the Universal Skype app.
Right.
And I'm back to my theory that it was a Windows update that broke this camera. Broke the Logitech C920 for some people.
He has the same camera.
Same camera. And yeah. I've almost come to the conclusion that I know what it is.
Well, here's some proof points for your theory because I don't see it right now. But oftentimes in Action Center, what will come up is a software update notification that will say you need to update your software and it's for the Logitech thing and I just ignore it.
Yeah. Do not do it because it is the same update. It's not a new update. They haven't updated this thing since 2012. It thinks it needs to do an update for God knows what reason. And when you do the update, it breaks Skype.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to
play with that.
Because I had the same thing happen to me on my production machine. I had to use a webcam for something and he goes, oh, you froze. I'm like, isn't that funny? So a little tip for everybody. I don't know why I'm still team-viewed into this machine. Let me just close that out before I break something on your end. Why don't we go into the activation questions here?
Okay.
Because I have been when I tell you I'm up to my neck in emails, if I were to print out the emails that I've received, I would be up to my neck in emails.
Can I jump to the start of the list and tell you what I think will be the number one question about Windows 10 activation?
Yes.
What if I replace my hard drive or my motherboard?
Yeah.
And it's on a computer that I previously upgraded to Windows 10 for free. And now I want to clean install Windows 10 or not. It doesn't matter.
So you would have to install Windows 7.
Will I be able to activate Windows 10 on that computer?
That is one of the top questions that I've received.
Yep. So the answer to that question, which interestingly is the answer I've been giving all along, so I'm actually happy to hear that it was correct, is nothing has changed. That's not fair. Actually, there is an update because of Windows 10 and because of the free upgrade. So from a sort of basic standpoint, nothing has changed. Any major hardware change may require you to do a phone-based activation.
Okay. And when you do the phone-based activation, so here's what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I upgraded to Windows 10. Okay.
Yep.
I need to do a format. Do I just download the Windows 10 ISO and put in my Windows 7 key?
Oh, yeah. Although, actually, let's make it even simpler than that. If you have already activated Windows 10 on that computer, you can download the Windows 10 ISO. You can do a clean install Windows 10, and it should just activate. You shouldn't have to put in any key.
Put in nothing. Okay. So I got a new hard drive.
Yep.
I went from regular traditional hard drive to an SSD. I pop in the SSD. I download the Windows 10 ISO, and I go to install. What do I do? What happens next?
Nothing. It will activate.
It will activate with what?
And with automatically because it detects it as the same computer. So one of the things that changed with the Windows 10 anniversary update, right, or with 1607, is that Microsoft is no longer counting the hard drive when it creates your hardware ID for activation purposes. So in other words, we don't know what the secret formula is. I was told in the past before Windows 10 that the formula weighted different components differently. The motherboard was the thing that was weighted the highest because in many respects, when you think about it, the motherboard is the computer, right? But the CPU, the RAM, the hard drive factored in, the video card, these things all kind of factor into this hardware ID that Microsoft creates.
Okay, so it's a combination. It's not one or two components. It's a combination of components.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So now other one is?
The change is hard drive, no longer part of that.
Okay.
Because people today are swapping out hard drives all the time, and now we're not going to screw with that anymore.
Okay. So I'm going to give you two more, okay? These are all hardware related.
Mm-hmm.
I have a computer. It died. I built myself a new computer. I'm replacing that computer. I'm not running it. I've replaced this computer.
Can you transfer the product key or whatever?
Can I still use, can I install Windows 10 and it would tell me, you know, ask me who I am or what kind of key I have or something like that?
Yep. So if you, well, first of all, obviously it's not going to automatically activate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Because it is a new computer. In this case, you're still going to be facing a Microsoft support call. And now you're going to enter into something. I actually didn't put this into my article. There's a thing called, it has the word exception in it. I can't remember the exact title, but there's an exception process that Microsoft support goes through for people who are trying to activate in these situations. If you had, let's do this right now. Let me just go into my own system so I can make sure I'm getting this right. If I look at my computer and I look at the, and I look at the activation screen in settings, it says, Windows 10 is activated with a digital license. And what that means is that in addition to the unique hardware ID that's up in the cloud where Microsoft should be able to automatically activate this computer every single time I clean install Windows 10 on it, the digital license means it's also what's called like a digital entitlement.
So if
you go to
settings. I got to get this Windows 7. This is where I went automatically to see what's activated.
Oh, no, that will do it. Just click at the bottom. Yeah, click on that.
Click on what?
That will go to the activation link. Isn't there an activation link down there?
Change product key? No.
Oh, don't do that. No, forget that. No, just open start and type activate. There you go. Click activation. Okay. Now, on your computer, yes, digital license. And so how do you sign into your computer with the Microsoft account?
I don't. No, I don't.
All right. So you might want to.
Okay.
So the reason being that when you sign in with a Microsoft account, that digital license is associated with your account. And really what this is it doesn't, you know, it's funny because you probably would be able to transfer it. You'd have to do it over the phone, but it doesn't technically mean that you own this version of Windows 10. It's still associated with this PC. But like you said, you know, it depends on how you acquired it, right? If you bought Windows 10, you would have a product key.
You never, you don't have any worries. It exists, it's there, you never have to worry about this.
So, well, except that if your computer dies, you use that product key on a new computer, it's not going to activate. Call Microsoft, explain what happened, and they would activate you. And going forward, that product key would be associated with that computer. All right, but you have a digital license. It's a different thing. Digital license, how did you acquire this version of Windows 10? You probably upgraded from a previous version of the OS, right? Is that true?
Yeah. It was Windows 7 and I updated, yeah.
Okay.
I had to think for a second. I'm like, wait a minute, what does he mean? How did I acquire it?
How did you get Windows 7?
I came with a computer.
Okay. Then you can't transfer that to a new computer.
Oh, wait a minute. How did I acquire Windows 7? There was a guy by Penn Station, and he was selling copies of DVDs.
Okay.
No, I had a copy, and I installed Windows 7 on it. Yeah.
If you bought Windows 7, you would be able to use the Windows 7 product key temporarily to install Windows 10. You probably still have to do a phone activation, yada, yada, yada. Move that product key over. But it really depends on how you get Windows 10, right? The thing that people, I think, misunderstand, because Microsoft has not communicated this very effectively, is I feel like people get the free upgrade to Windows 10 and they think, this is my thing now. It's mine. I get the free upgrade. You don't. The machine gets the free upgrade. That thing goes with the machine.
So,
Yeah. Pretty
much, if you have a Microsoft username, right? If you have an account, a Microsoft account. Yeah. It ties into this, right? So it's tied into the account. So all you do is put in your username, and then it'll activate.
But here's the problem. So people hear that, and they think, well, good. What that means is somewhere in my Microsoft account, I have a list of product keys or something like product keys that are my versions of Windows 10, and I can just distribute those as I like out to new computers and stuff. And that's not how that works. That's not what that's for.
Okay.
What that really is just an additional fail-safe, because up in the cloud, there's some hardware ID that is your computer that represents your computer uniquely, and Microsoft checks against that when you install Windows 10. And if it finds that number up in the cloud, it says, yep, activated, it's fine. Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't work. So they've done a couple of things over the past 9, 10 months or whatever to make things easier for people who are legitimately just trying to use their free Windows 10 upgrade. So, for example, back in October, they announced, I think it was October, maybe September, they announced that if you have a Windows 7 or a Windows 8.1 product key, you can use that, and that will activate Windows 10. That only makes sense while Windows 10 upgrade is free, right? Today, that doesn't actually make sense. I mean, you have a Windows 7 product key. Well, congratulations. You can install Windows 7. The upgrade is no longer free. Why would that thing activate Windows 10?
Yeah.
As it turns out, actually, it still does, because temporarily they're allowing this, again, just to be nice to customers and whatever. But at some point in the future, we don't know when, that is going to be turned off.
So, right? if like right now, here's my example, right? I have a Microsoft account.
Yes.
I don't use the Microsoft account because all my Windows PCs are production machines.
Okay.
So I don't want to put in my personal thing in the production machine. So if I have production machines, right, can I tie one account to all of these and write GFQ production? And every time I go to activate, it'll know?
Yes.
But then I'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll have eight computers to one account.
That's fine. I had 45 of them the last time I checked.
Okay, so but all of those computers, it's another failsafe for that computer to be upgraded or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
The idea is your computer, the one you're running right now, it came with Windows 7. Sometime in the past year, you said, you know what, Windows 10 upgrade is free. I'm going to upgrade. You did it. It succeeded. It activated. Everything's great. And then some amount of time goes by, and you're like, you know, this thing's been running kind of slow. I installed some apps. They might have screwed something up. Now I want to reset it. I'm going to download the Windows 10 ISO. I'm going to clean install Windows 10. It should work. It should just work. You should have no questions, no problems, no whatever. But the truth is, in the real world, sometimes it doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, you're going to have to call Microsoft and say, this is what happened, and hopefully they'll activate you. But if you have a Microsoft account, if you had signed in with a Microsoft account, that... it's not really a product key. It's a digital license, but let's just call it a product key. It is associated in your Microsoft account. So you've got these three things. It's a hardware ID. It's a product key. It's not really.
But I guess the third thing is an internet communicator device.
No. Do you see where we're going with this? No, it's your Microsoft account, and it's sort of like two-factor authentication. It's like you've got, you know, it's you're proving it's you. It can you know, they can see in the system. Oh yeah, okay, you know, and. It's just a failsafe. You know, honestly, for most people, it probably won't even matter. The system should just work. Microsoft has had a year now to kind of figure it out.
Okay.
You know, we'll see.
Here's another question I got, and I just saw that you answered it, so I'm going to ask you. So okay. I bought a computer. I use it for 2-3 years, and now I want to give it to someone else, or I want to sell it.
Yep.
What happens to that? What happens to that license?
Well, it belongs to the computer.
Okay.
So if somebody signs in with their Microsoft account on that computer, that number, that digital license, and the hardware ID are associated with their Microsoft account.
Okay.
So the truth is, I don't actually know. Like, I suspect it's still in your account as well. Interesting. And I suppose the point there might be that you have a PC in your home, and you, your wife, and your child all sign in with their own Microsoft accounts.
And it's all tied.
They're all associated with the same PC. I actually don't know. I don't think there's a way to remove that PC from your account.
Isn't it interesting that all of these questions and this confusion comes from the fact that they gave this thing away,
and then they
stopped giving it away?
Some of the stuff... it dates back a while, right? I mean, product activation, I think, started Windows XP. It's been kind of reviled ever since. They added it to Office over time. They've added it to other products. You know, they've worked on it over, you know, they've improved things over the years. I mean, it's still kind of this weird system. I mean, I sort of feel like at this point, Windows should just be free.
Yeah.
And I guess, except when you just buy raw hardware. I mean, it just seems like,
you know, if it was free, it would be so much easier on the, like, for the Mac, for example. You really can't do this anymore, but let's say you replaced your hard drive on the Mac, you could install.
Oh, yes. There's
OS
no question.
Because there was a thing in the BIOS in the UEFI where it would ping to the server and download the copy that your computer came with.
Yeah. So you understand why Microsoft can't do what Apple does, right?
Yes. Very easy.
Okay. And the reason is, Apple is the only place you can get a Mac. there's no such thing as a, well, I mean, obviously there are, you know, like Hackintoshes and stuff, but if you're running Mac hardware, you got it from Apple. You paid for it. You did pay for Mac OS X. And so future upgrades are free until they're not, right? They don't support older hardware pretty aggressively. But let's say you get, you know, maybe three versions of Mac OS X for free. All they have to do is look at the hardware, say, this is how old it is. Is it on the list? Yep. Then give them the newest version, whatever it might be. And the newest version might be the one that's out right now. It might be the previous version. But that's as far as you're going to get. You know, Windows, it's a little more complicated because Windows does not come on every PC. You could buy a PC without Windows. You could build a PC.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little more complicated. It's not completely Microsoft's
fault. It's exactly how what I predicted with the questions. You know, the day comes. Actually, all these questions came on anniversary update day. So August 2nd, my inbox was flooded with, can you ask Paul this? I know he's away, but don't bother Paul now. Don't message him now, but when he comes back, bring this up. And I thought, you know.
Well, it's good timing because I just got this internal Microsoft documentation. So.
Perfect. I want to talk to you about Redstone 2.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions about this.
I don't have a lot of information on.
And I do have a tip that you actually mentioned on Windows Weekly that I think would be very beneficial for people. But before we do that, let's talk about our sponsor, and that's Casper. Another thing Paul has, actually. Paul has a Casper mattress. I have a Casper mattress. I sleep on a Casper mattress every single night. I absolutely love the company. My in-laws just bought one. And, Paul, I don't know if I told you the story. They got tricked into buying like a Casper-like mattress.
Oh, really?
Because of Facebook ads. Because on Facebook,
like Casper with a K.
It's, you know what? It's if you didn't know the product as well as I do, and you saw these ads, you would make the biggest mistake because you're going to get something that is a subpar product. They ordered this thing. They call me. They go, I ordered this mattress, and it's not good. And I remember, and then I looked at the box. It's not Casper.
Right.
They ended up returning it. Thank God they returned it, and they ended up getting a Casper. But they kind of got tricked into buying this thing. So before I tell you guys about Casper, be careful when you're buying this thing. Just make sure you're buying the right product. These guys are great. Casper mattresses are obsessively engineered mattresses. And they offer the lowest price. I mean, you're getting a premium mattress for a very, very affordable price. I tell the story all the time how I had a very expensive multi-$1,000 mattress because I blew out my back and I thought this is what I need. And I did the whole lay down test. You sit down, they give you like this special number of where your trouble point is in your back, and they tell you what kind of mattress to buy. And I did this whole thing. I ended up buying the worst mattress of my life. It was way too soft. I hated it every night. And when Casper said, hey, listen, we want to advertise, we're going to send you a mattress, I took the mattress. I didn't know how great it would be, and I put this thing down, and it was the best night of sleep I've ever had. Casper offers free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. And that's right. For 100 days, you can sleep on this thing and then decide, hey, it's not for me. Casper mattresses are also made in the U.S., and they have an office here in Manhattan, actually, if you want to stop by. Get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin, $950 for a king-size mattress. And you get $50 off as one of our audience members by going to Casper.com/Andrew and entering the promo code Andrew. Guys, I talk about this every week. I sleep on a Casper every single day. I just ordered a Casper for my guest room. So, Josh, when you're staying over in 2 weeks, you're going to be sleeping on a Casper. Josh is watching this right now. Casper.com/Andrew. Get $50 off as one of our audience members by going there and entering the code Andrew at checkout. Paul,
yes.
Let's talk about Redstone 2.
Okay.
Before we do that, if you are part of the Insider program, if you're an Insider, it would be a good idea to turn off the downloads, right?
To turn off the Insider program
or
switch
to a different ring.
If you don't want to keep moving forward to Redstone 2 builds, which, by the way, could start occurring as soon as like right now, today. It could be any time now.
I turned it off on this machine here because I turned it on later on in the updates, and after I heard you mention this, I turned it off because I don't want early betas on this thing, early insider builds as they are called.
Yeah.
But what do we know so far?
Well, about the product itself, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, not too much. I mean, beyond the fact that we know roughly the schedule is that it's not coming out this fall. It's going to be early next year. We know that it will be the first of two planned milestone updates for 2017, although I think that's going to change, frankly. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. I expect it to come out in March timeframe, right around the same time as new Microsoft hardware, Surface Book 2, Surface Pro 5, you know, whatever else. That's about it. I mean, if you look at, you know, 1511 and 1607 and the types of improvements that Microsoft made to those two releases, I think Redstone 2 will be kind of a similar thing. It's not going to be like Windows 11. You know, it will have some, you know, decent new features, lots of small things. I mean, I'll say, you know, I've been updating the book that I wrote about Windows 10 for 1607 or the anniversary update. And, you know, there are some big features like Windows Ink that maybe don't impact a lot of people. There's some existing features that were updated in kind of a major way, like Cortana, that's kind of interesting. But if you look at the system as a whole, you might think, well, you know, they really changed that much. But when you go app to app, the mail app, the calendar app, photos, Groove, movies and TV, whatever, these things have all changed in, again, not like, I don't mean like they're completely different looking or anything, but they're all definitely way better than they were a year ago. And
absolutely,
that's
yeah.
really interesting. It's really interesting. So things change, you know.
It's interesting that they are taking such an initiative with these products, you know, with these, like the Mail app and Photos, because historically Microsoft has neglected a lot of those apps in the past. With Windows 10, a lot of it changed.
Right.
A lot of this, you know, kind of changed over and it became more of a priority to update them. I think the Mail app, I'm actually surprised how good the Mail app is.
Yeah. So it's funny. I haven't written about this yet, but sometime in the next week or so, I'm going to write some article about a pretty dramatic shift that I've made in my usage, because I've used a lot of web apps in the past, you know, for mail and calendar, for photos, for music, and I've started using the Windows 10 apps. And on an iPhone or an Android phone, I've started using the corresponding Microsoft apps as well. And you think, you know, like I'm kind of a Microsoft guy. Wouldn't I be using these apps anyway or whatever? Or is this one of those lame, you know, I used a Chromebook for a month and you're never going to believe what happened next kind of things.
Yeah.
But it's not like that. Like these apps, I think, have improved to the point where they are usable. And with the Mail app in particular, like you were saying, like it's nice. And I'm trying to figure out if it's, you know, I don't really have advanced like corporate functionality around things like email retention rules and, you know, information rights management, whatever baloney you might find in like Microsoft Office 2016. But this thing absolutely meets my needs, just like, you know, Google Gmail would on the web or inbox or whatever. And so is that because in using web interfaces, like these kind of simple mobile type interfaces are fine for me? Or have these things really improved to the point where they're actually, you know, they're nice. And I'm not sure, like, actually what the answer is. I mean, I agree. It does the job.
Yeah. I was impressed when I was playing around with it, because I want to get to know these applications a little more, because I really don't use them. But, you know, I kind of want to talk about it. And I was very impressed by the email app. I was surprised how good it is compared to early versions of it.
Yeah. It's always little things, right? You know, I mentioned that thing about Action Center and notifications and how the banner is always in exactly the same place. And Action Center is a million times more usable now than it was in the first release of Windows 10. But I still look at something like that and it's like, ah, man, I wish I could change. You know, like the Mail app, it's kind of interesting. Unlike a web browser, like you can zoom the reading pane view, but you zoom from 100% to 150. There's no like 125 or discrete levels of zoom. And so 150% is too big. 100% is the hair too small. It's like, I can't go up. All I get is, you know, 150.
So. I'm going to start actually, I don't use the Mail app or like any of those things on my Mac. I don't use the Mail app, but everybody apparently uses the Mail app. Everybody that I know that has a Mac uses the Mail app, and I'm going to try to use the Mail app. I use Gmail.
I don't like the Mail app on the Mac.
I don't care for it either, but maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm wrong here.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Well, listen, when Siri
that's an
comes
interesting
on this
thing. So if you try that and you like it, that's interesting. If you try it and you don't like it, it sort of suggests that maybe Microsoft is onto something with their Mail app.
Yeah. Well, you know, the biggest question is going to be with Siri on the Mac, right? Cortana, like I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago at, like, I don't even think twice to use Cortana voice search, like anything with voice on Windows. Like, I don't even, it's not even something that crosses my mind, but on my phone, I use Google Now every day, multiple times a day. I use it for search.
And
I use it
for voice, like with voice?
Yeah, yeah, for voice. So, like, I'll use it for reminders. I use it for calendar updates. I use it for almost everything when I'm searching or anything that I got to input into this thing.
So
I constantly use it that way. I cannot use Cortana on Windows. I'm curious to see if I'm going to use Siri on the Mac.
Is there a way to use Siri on the Mac without speaking?
I don't know. You know what? I refuse to run beta products, beta OSs.
Because I don't like this kind of thing. So I guess the way I think of it is this kind of machine intelligence, you know, personal digital assistant stuff, I think is huge, right? It's not going away. It's going to get worse, or, you know, there'll be more of it. But I think it's interesting how your usage can change across devices. Like, I think on something like a phone, there's some percentage of people like you who want to talk to the phone and get results that way, and that works fine. There's some people who might want to just tap something out on the virtual keyboard, and that's fine. When you move to the computer, whether it's a Mac or a PC, I really think, and, you know, it's like, I'll be proven wrong on this, I guess, but for me, I don't ever want to talk to the computer. I'll just type. I want to hit the start. You know, you can hit Windows key plus C to get to Cortana specifically, but the way I typically use it is just hit the Windows key and I just start typing. And honestly, on a computer, it's a productivity device. Typically, I'm looking for an application or a document. And I can just type the beginning of the name and it pops up in a list. And that's all I need. You know, it's all I care about. But, you know, the Xbox supports this too. And in a video game type thing, typing stuff in on a controller is terrible. Plus, you're often playing a video game. And you don't want to interrupt what you're doing to type. So voice control makes a lot of sense in that sense, you know? So I think the real value of something like Cortana or Siri isn't that it's that you interact with it in a certain way on a certain device. It's that it's available everywhere. And so if you're a Siri user and you have an Apple TV, there might be some value in the future for this thing to understand that maybe you were sitting here watching, you know, some movie and you asked it something about directions and then you got up and left the house and it automatically pops up on your phone.
On your phone, yeah.
That kind of integration is neat. And then, you know, Microsoft was working on this, Apple is working on this, Google's working on it. And, you know, Siri, I guess the primary problem I have with it is that there's a platform lock-in thing going there, going on there. You know, Google puts their stuff on Apple's devices and their own devices, obviously. Microsoft puts their stuff on everyone's device, and so there's some advantage to that. It hasn't reaped any like usage rewards.
Yeah, it could propagate information better and knows how users are interacting. I mean, that's the advantage. Apple, you're right. It's very closed in. I'm just curious as far as the desktop goes, because I don't want to say Cortana's useless on the desktop when it comes to voice search, but because there's nothing to compare it to. I don't know if it's Cortana, if it's just that's not how we're going to interact with it, or I don't know if it's Cortana itself. So we'll find out in a couple of weeks. And I'm getting messaged on Facebook saying, Andrew, why don't you run the latest, why don't you run the beta version of macOS? And that is because I like to go in, when a new version of the operating system comes, I like to go in there fresh, and I like to have I don't want to have something sitting on my desktop for 8 months, and when it comes out, I forget to bring it up. Or talk about it. I want a real world usage case for this. That's just how I do it. Microsoft acquires Beam.
Yeah. My headline for that would have been Microsoft does not acquire Twitch.
Yeah. Well, did they try? Were they in the?
I don't know.
Why? Is this going to be something? Why?
Why?
Is this something that they're going to tie into the Xbox? Is there any?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I've been writing about the Xbox a lot lately, right, because the new console's out and it's pretty great. And it's caused me to revisit some things that I don't really look at all that much. You know, this integration, you know, in the same way that Windows 10 is, you know, being improved over the past year, so has the Xbox. And so you can tie your Xbox Live account now to Facebook. You can tie it to Twitter. In the case of Twitter, one of the reasons you would do that is so that you can share game clips and screenshots to kind of a broader world outside of your Xbox Live, you know, friends list or whatever. And so they're really big on sharing, I guess. And I think, you know, having an in-house way to stream gaming experience is a big deal. Like, I think this stuff is becoming a legit use case. Like, there are, you know, it's like when extreme games kind of became a thing, yeah. And now we have like video game tournaments are kind of a thing, even though I realize it's about as much like a sport as bowling is. You know, there are people who are legitimately great at these games and they can broadcast, and they, you know, people will do kind of reviews where they talk over the game and things like that. So I think it's just it's a big part of the community that Microsoft is trying to establish for gamers. So,
I mean, majority of them use Twitch, so.
Yes, I think.
And you can't buy that. I wonder how much, you know, Amazon buying Twitch was a big, big purchase. I mean, this was, it's amazing because Justin TV was just hemorrhaging money and they decided to go into the gaming thing and they hit the nail on the head. It's amazing to me.
Right.
Yeah. Guys, we're approaching the end. Is there anything I missed, Paul? I'm sure there's a lot, but is there anything?
What's happened over the past 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which we're going to talk about your trip. I'm dying to know more about your trip.
My trip?
Yeah, your vacation. Your trip. Your trip, you know, that bad trip you had the other night.
So last month.
Yeah.
No.
Guys, go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. Therot.com. Guys, go sign up and be a Therot premium member. You got 35% off right now. If you sign up, it's only $42 a month. Brad and Paul are going to be doing some cool stuff. You're going to be doing a podcast.
Yep.
For only Therot.com members. I'm going to be producing it for you guys, actually.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. Go there, Therot.com/Therot-premium. I'm a Therot premium member. I'm waiting for my shirt.
Shirt?
My shirt. My the Paul Therot shirts.
Oh. Is everyone getting one, or is you
I don't
just
know?
Want one?
But I'm supposed to get one with a number.
Yep. Oh, I see. Yeah, we can.
I'm waiting.
I'll talk to people.
I got to call your people.
I got to get my people talking to your people.
Guys, we do a bonus show here. If you go to patreon.com/whatthetech, you get access to that bonus show. We're going to record it live right after this, so stay tuned. If you want to watch it, if you're listening to the podcast, go to patreon.com/whatthetech. You can sign up there. You can fund us there and get access to this. We're going to be talking about Paul's Parisian excursion. Was it a Parisian excursion? Would you consider
it? Was.
It was.
Yep.
It was.
Yep.
At The Rot for Paul, at Andrew Zarin for me. We'll see you all next week. Take care.